this morning. We are in the process of a series entitled Glorious Rest. Can you say that with me? Glorious Rest. And what does that mean? As I was on a cruise, which seems like eons ago, vacations come and go so fast that you can hardly remember you went. All right. But anyway, as I was on that cruise, welcome back. Yes. Grandpa. Yes. Welcome back. We thank God for him being back. Let's give our brother a hand that he's back. Thank you. As I was on that cruise during one of the worship services, God told me this. He said, Damien, he knows that I want to please him. Okay, he knows that I desire to be a great leader for this church and for him to get a lot of glory. So he knows that about me, okay? But he said this. He said, Damien, you can achieve more for me, or there's more glory to be had if you would just enter my rest. So there's more glory for you to have for me to have from you if you'll enter my rest than all of your activity combined. Some of us are wearing ourselves out. You're wearing yourself at your job, in your marriage, because you're doing all the work. And there's no glory coming from you doing all the work, because we know that John 15 and 5 says this, that I am the vine and you are the what? The branches. We are not the vine. We are the branches. So we've got to get into the right position. He that abideth in me and I am in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So all of our activity, although it might be good, and although we might think it is godly, if it is not ordained of him, if it is not coming and flowing from him, it's just activity that leads to nothing. So he said, Damien, I want you to enter into my glorious rest. So what's that? It's this place where you can achieve in him more through faith than you can through all the activity in the world. How is it that I can do more for God by standing still than by running rampant? And I'm not going to wear myself out anymore because he's given me a revelation of rest. Even on Saturday, my wife was gone with the Converge, the teen movement. And I had the kids by myself, and Drayden was in there playing the video game, and I had Dominic on my chest. He was sleeping on me, and I felt guilty. Like, that activity came, that wanting to do something came over me, okay? And God's just like, some of us don't even feel right at rest. Do you hear what I said? And then he reminded me that it was the Sabbath and there was nothing wrong. Say this with me. There's nothing wrong with rest. See, we've been taught that you got to be so busy or nothing will work. But I'm telling you, if you enter into God's glorious rest, he'll cause all things to work out for your good and he'll get all the glory for them. That you don't have to get dirty. I'm going to break a sweat today, but you don't have to break a sweat. Okay, and he's going to bring things to their good end, and he'll be the one that gets all the glory from it. We have to stop using our imagination, okay? Stop using your imagination, stop using your natural mind, and begin to use the spiritual mind. Oh, the spiritual mind is so refreshing, and the natural mind is so stressful. Here's what we do by default. When a situation comes into our lives, okay, and it's heavy, all right, the first thing we begin to do is try to work on it, okay? We immediately go to strategy. How do I fix this thing? Do I need to work more money to pay the bill? Do I need to eat better and exercise or go to this doctor or that doctor? I'm going to get on Google, see what I need to do about this problem, and we carry the issue everywhere. The natural mind causes us to carry that issue everywhere, and it weighs heavy on our minds and in our lives, and before you know it, it's causing you to just faint and fall, and the burden is so heavy upon you that it brings you to a standstill. That's what the natural mind does, because when you can't figure it out, you'll faint. If all you utilize is the natural mind and not God, when you can't figure it out, you'll faint. You'll begin to lose sleep. Your hair will start falling out. You'll lose your appetite. You'll be snapping at people, grumpy, never smile, because you've allowed all these burdens to begin to weigh you down because you think, basically, that you are a God. And that you're the one that's going to fix your world, but that's not the case. With the spiritual mind, you understand this. Say spiritual mind. The spiritual mind allows us to have life and peace. The spiritual mind allows us to have life and peace. The spiritual mind is connected to the Word of God. And the Word of God never fails. Okay? The Word of God never fails. And the Word of God, we talked about revelation. So here's what REST stands for everyone new in the house taking notes. REST stands for four things. Each letter stands for something. R is for revelation. E is for empowerment. S is for what, church? Strategy. And T finally is what? Triumph. So God allows us to get the victory in REST. He's God. Let him be God all by himself. Amen. Let him do what he desires to do and stay out of God's way. Amen. So when we have a spiritual mind, we walk into God's rest by faith. See, fear will have you picking up the problem. Fear will have you sleeping with the problem by your bed. So every once in a while, you could be asleep in your bed and you're reaching over, touching the problem. And losing sleep. Because when you keep the problem before you, the problem ministers to you. And when the problem ministers to you, it says things like this: I'm still here. What are you going to do? Time's running out. You see, the problem ministers to you as long as you have it and you're trying to figure it out in your own mind. But the Bible says, can you say revelation? Revelation is what God says, and revelation comes through the spoken word, as a preacher can give it to you, the written word, your Bible, you read it, or God can speak from his own mouth to your heart. Can you say revelation? Revelation is God's way of doing things. It's God's plan. And when we cease from our natural thinking and get into the spiritual mode and the spiritual mind, we will begin to understand some deep, deep principles about God and understand that the Word of God says that we're supposed to do this thing. The Bible's full of revelation. Go get one. No matter what your problem is, there's a revelation in the Bible about your problem. Go get it and stand on it. And through that revelation will come empowerment, a strategy, and triumph, okay? This rock is getting pretty heavy. Do you understand that? It's hard to stand here and preach with this rock. And you know what? It's hard for you to live your life with the rocks you've been carrying around. You've been carrying around some troubles. And some concerns. And some of you have multiple rocks. You have more rocks than hands. So it becomes, let's just say, a book bag. And then that book bag becomes full of rocks. And then a duffel bag. Then that duffel bag becomes full of rocks. And you're taking those rocks or there's problems with you everywhere you go. But can you say revelation? The Word of God says that we are not supposed to carry around our burdens or carry around these stones. It says cast. Nobody got scared. You trust me. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Can you say revelation? That's a revelation. That's the truth of God saying that if you do this thing by faith, I will relieve you of that stone. I will be your God. I will be the answer to your problem if you will have faith in my revelation. So every single thing that God allows us to have an encounter with in our life, okay, we can do this. We can cast our cares on him. Brother, can you stand up? You're going to play the devil at this time, okay? And he is not. He is not. But he's got on a red tie and red shoes, so we'll just go with it. All right? So here's what happens sometimes, okay? I'll come to the altar with my problem, and I'll leave it at the altar. And just as I sat it down, that's the way I want you to pick it up. All right? And then I'll go about my business, okay? I did what was spiritual. I did what was spiritual. I did what God said do, okay? All right, but can you say, in the meantime? That meantime is what gets us. In the meantime, I walk away from the altar. I walk away from my knees, but the deadline is still there. You can pick that up, brother. And as I'm minding my own business sometimes, the enemy will bring that thing right back to me. And what I had put down at his feet and at the altar, now the enemy has caused me to get. See, I can't even touch this spiritually. Do you understand that if I stay in the spiritual mind, that I can't even receive this thing back? But if he can catch you and if he can come after your flesh, after your weakness, and get you thinking about that issue or that problem again, then you can actually take it back and start using that natural mind and like, oh, Lord. So that's why some of us are praying 75,000 times about the same thing. Because instead of standing firm on our spiritual action, instead of standing firm and say, God, I'm casting this care on you. I don't care how long it takes. I trust you. I'm going to go about my business. I'm going to believe your word, and I'm not going to pick up the thing again. Okay? If we don't stay in that spiritual mind, the enemy will bring that problem right back to you, and there you go, chiseling on it again and worrying about it and looking at it at different angles and Google and Yahoo and phone calls. I got this situation. You see, God does not want us to reach out and touch men concerning our problems. He wants us to reach up and touch him. Him alone. Amen. You can have a seat, brother. You're no longer that role anymore. God bless you. All right. So listen very carefully. You do not, well, come back. You're not done. All right, so here we go again. I've prayed. I've put the thing down. I've casted it at his feet. All right, the enemy's going to pick it up. All right, he's going to try to bring it to me. Lord, I'm trusting you. You know, here's my mindset spiritually. Lord, I know the issue's still there. I haven't seen the miracle materialize, but in the meantime, I'm not going to let my natural mind touch it. I am only going to be spiritually minded about this situation and problem. So my spiritual mind says, I am not going to walk by sight about this thing anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? Your problems, stop walking by sight concerning your problems. Just because you don't see the miracle yet doesn't mean it's not coming. Don't let the fact that you can't see it minister to you and say, oh, it must not be so, or it's taking too long. All right, stay in your spiritual mind. So in the spiritual mind, I'm praising God. Lord, I thank you. I don't see it yet, but Lord, I know that you're with me and that you're taking care of it. All right, the enemy tries to bring that problem back to you. You're like, nope. You can't. I don't want that. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I don't receive that problem back. I have left it at his feet. God is working things out for my good. I don't need to touch it. Because listen. If I touch it again, the weight of the problem is back on me. And this problem doesn't belong to me. Who's this problem belong to? Who's this belong to? Who do your issues belong to? They belong to him and him alone. And if we will just enter into rest, so you can have a seat, brother. Rest is this. Although there might be issues out there, they're not mine to bear. although they might be in my life, the only reason that these issues have showed up in my life is for the glory of God. It's a seed. Do you see this thing? My problem is just a seed of glory. I want you to start seeing your issues as, thank you, Jesus, seeds of glory. And any of you that have ever planted a seed, some of us cheat. I admit, sometimes I cheat, and I go to the store, and I buy, for the garden, I'll buy a plant that's already up. You know, oh, ye farmer of little faith. You know, and that's how we are. We want to see the blessings that are already have popped up out of the ground. We want to see something. But there's been times when I planted things from seed. So you have to understand that your problems are glory seeds. They're heavy and they're ugly and we don't want them. And the case is ugly. The problem is ugly. Marital problems, health problems, financial problems. They're ugly seeds. But I'm trying to tell you that they contain the glory of God on the inside of them if you will plant them by faith. That they will produce glory for God. And that is the revelation of rest, that I don't have to keep coming. Only a fool. My wife would think I was crazy if I slept in the garden every night just waiting for that seed that I planted to come up. I gotta plant it and forget it. There's something that I must do with that seed, though. I must make sure that it's aerated, to make sure that enough air flows around it. I have to make sure that the ground is broken up around it so that when it does rain, it can get into that seed and the seed can germinate. And what that thing does, praise God, what that thing does underground or what that thing does in the hand of God is die. It dies. In order for a seed to grow, it must die first. Okay, so when that problem, when the enemy tries to bring that problem back to your mind, you can just say, that thing's dead. I buried that thing. What are you doing up? I command you to get back underground and die. I'm waiting for the glory of the Lord to be revealed over my situation and my issue. But we've got to stay out of the garden after we've planted it. I am very, I'm trying to look for a word. I'm very OCD or something when it comes to my garden. I don't like to see footprints in it. Nothing. I'm like the ground disturbed, all right? I don't want my kids playing in the garden, oh Lord. And I don't want them, I know they mean well. People will mean well, but be careful who you let near the thing that you've planted in the ground. Your problem or your situation, because people can mean well. You see, my kids have meant well over the years in my garden, and they have tried to come and do what dad does by pull up weeds. But do you know sometimes they pulled up the actual fruit? They pulled up the actual blessing. So you better be careful who you're telling your problems to. Be careful who you're telling your problems to, because their lack of faith will begin to minister to you, and that thing that God was doing, you'll uproot it and say, it's impossible. Amen? I don't know where all that came from. I know where it came from, but I'm trying to tell you that wasn't the message. So let's just thank God for that word this morning. My father is the one that implanted that desire to have visuals when it comes to the word of God. I know many of you that used to be here when he preached, he'd always do the he wants you to be able to see it for yourself and implant it into your system so that it's yours. So just remember that. Remember, all of your issues belong to who? So you got no business carrying them. And listen, if I got a packet of tomato seeds in my pocket, guess what I'll never have? Tomatoes. I can't carry around seeds. Okay? Seeds have to be put in the ground. Problems have to be cast to the ground. Problems have to be planted in God's garden by faith. And don't you come back, look and see, I don't want to see this thing again until it's a tomato. Do you hear what I said? I don't want to see the problem again until it's been transformed for the glory of God. And that's when I'll touch it again. And that's when I'll rejoice and say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. This problem started as kidney failure, but now I've had a kidney transplant and I'm perfectly healthy. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. You see, that's the glory aspect of it. Remember, I told you that these are just glory seeds. So if you put your ear on it in there, you should be able to hear, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's going to work out in your favor. Don't be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Let it go. Cast your cares on the Lord. And you just do it because there's something in the seed. There's something in the seed. There's something in your problem. No matter how ugly it looks right now, if you will just take it out of your hands and put it into the proper environment, it will grow. Amen? Praise God. We have been talking about Revelation for about, I don't know, about five or six sermons. We were on the letter R, talking about Revelation. And Revelation is so important because we have to be able to ask God for wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing, okay? And I need something to believe in. My faith needs a target. And the target of my faith is the Word of God. What He said never fails. So my target can never be what the doctor said or what my cousin said or what this book says. The target of my faith always has to be what God said, because what God said never fails. So that's what revelation is all about. Revelation, God said it. Empowerment, what God said He's going to do. Strategy is us seeing the doing of God, and we get to take part in the strategy. And then triumph belongs to Him alone. So His revelation brings triumph. His revelation brings victory. So now we have graduated from revelation to empowerment. Amen. Somebody say empowerment. Rest, revelation, empowerment, strategy, triumph. Now we're going to get into empowerment. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the words about revelation that You gave us. Now we move on into empowerment, God. And I ask in Jesus' name that You would open up the ears of Your people. Your word says, let them that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Your word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So, Father, open up our ears and let there be a deposit of faith within our spirit. Father, I give this message back to You. I give my mouth to You. I am Your vessel. I thank You that I am an anointed preacher, God, because You have given me Your word to give to Your sheep, God. And Your word declares that if I love You, I will feed Your sheep. So, God, I have nothing to do with the power of Your word. I have nothing to do with the bread of heaven. I am just a distributor of the word. I just say, here's what the Lord says, and it's up to the people to activate these words by faith. So, God, I pray in Jesus' name that faith would arise in this place, and we would become fully aware of what empowerment means as it relates to rest. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a feeling that this will be a series two, so we have to buckle our seatbelts and go for the ride. He's going to teach us all about what it means to be empowered. Say this with me. I want to be empowered. Praise God. All right. So God is in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible. God is revelation. God is constantly speaking and working. And throughout the Word of God, He's there at the beginning, He's in the middle, and He is at the end. The very first word and the very first verse in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this: in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Say, He was there in the beginning. So there He was in the very beginning. And He is the one that created heaven and earth. the middle verse in the Bible. There is a middle verse. You split the Bible in half, all of his verses, there's a middle verse. And that middle verse is Psalms 118, verse 9. And that says this. Remember, I told you God in the beginning, God in the middle, God at the end. The middle verse says this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So we have God in the beginning creating the world, the heaven and the earth. God in the middle saying that you must put your trust in the Lord. And then the very last verse in the Bible, God at the end says this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the first, middle, and last words of the Bible make a sentence if put together. If you put together the first word in the Bible, the first little middle phrase in the Bible, and the very last word, it says this: in the Lord, amen. You don't believe me? You can do it yourself. In the Lord, amen. That's where all power comes from. That's the one that created the heavens and the earth. That's where our eternal salvation is made secure. He is the way maker. He is the healer. Every single problem we will ever have, if we put our trust in the Lord, is amen. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is true. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God will occur. So in the Lord, amen. The promises of God are what? Yes and what? Amen. So the Lord God, who has given us the word of God, and the beginning of the Bible says that he was there. The middle of the Bible, he is there. And then at the end of the Bible, he is there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says this: teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Say this with me: he is with me. Oh, if you could only understand what that really, really means, that he is with you. He promises to never leave us and to never forsake us. He is there. He was at our beginning, whatever day you were born. He was at our middle, and he will be at our end. And God's presence equals his power. God's presence, the very fact that God is present and he is available. The word of God says that he is my present help in time of trouble. His presence alone is power. The mountains melt at his feet. He doesn't have to say anything. Just at his presence is power. The demons, they tremble at his presence. He doesn't have to say anything. Just his presence is power. We're talking about empowerment this morning, and I'm telling you that the key to being empowered by God is staying in the presence of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Say this with me: I am empowered. Thank you, God. God's presence equals his power and activity. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. This is the New Living Translation. This is God talking to Moses. This excites me. I want you to get the revelation of this. Please don't just be sitting here so that you can fulfill some kind of religious duty of coming to church. I'm telling you that you can leave this place forever transformed if you receive these words that I'm about to say. God wants us to enter into his glorious rest. First God speaks, then he does. So the revelation is God speaking, and the empowerment is God doing. Amen? Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Remember, God's presence equals his power. He says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Say this with me: God sees me. He sees everything you're going through. And when you cry out, he also hears you, okay? Verse 10, this is God talking to Moses. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Say revelation. So this is God's revelation to Moses. This is God revealing his plan to Moses. This is what God is saying. Here's what I am going to do. That's what revelation is. Here is what I am going to do. Here is what I am capable of, okay? So the revelation is I am going to send you to Pharaoh because you are going to lead my people out of Egypt. Verse 11, can you say, but Moses? Okay, but Moses protested to God, who am I? Can you say imagination? Can everybody say imagination? See, I want you to get this, okay? I'm not trying to be bossy. Don't say I'm mean. I make you say things. I just want you to get it, amen? It's like this. Sometimes when you're feeding a baby, the baby does this kind of stuff. All right. And as you're sitting there, some of you are doing this kind of stuff. You're thinking about stuff. You're not fully paying attention. So I try to get you to say things so you can open up your mouth and eat the word of God. So here we go. But Moses protested to God, who am I? So he started to use his imagination. God gave a revelation, but you cannot receive revelation through your carnal mind. Revelation comes spiritually. So you've got to see God's picture spiritually. You can't afford to look at it naturally, because when you look at what God says he can do naturally, it will seem impossible to you, and that's what Moses did. He says this, who am I? Okay, so what that was speaking from Moses is that he had fear. He had fear of doing it alone. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? God gave him a revelation of what he could do. But the thing was so big that Moses feared going alone to do it. Who am I? And a lot of you feel that way. Who am I? Well, I'm telling you, you're not the one that's going to do it. Your only task is to believe in the one who said it. That's all you've got to bring to the table. That's all God is expecting for you is your faith. Amen? And he even gave you the gift of faith. Okay, so here's Moses talking from his imagination, talking from his carnal mind and his natural vision. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Can you say imagination? All right, then verse 12, God answered. So more revelation. Anytime God speaks, I want you guys to be so excited as you read the word of God, because every statement he says is true. Okay, just imagine being at work and over the loudspeaker, someone says, we have a surprise for the company this morning. We've been doing very well in our profits. Could we please meet everybody in the, could everyone please gather in the break room for your bonus checks? Oh my goodness. You would put your sandwich down. You would hang up on your mama. You would get to that break room as quickly as you said, because the CEO of the company said that he's about to do something. And you would trust the man of, you would trust the word of man so much that you would move fast. I'm telling you, that should be the same way we treat the word of God. When he says something, we say, God, I'm going to hold you to that word. I trust you. And the blessing or the revelation that you've given, I'm coming for it. I'm coming to get it. Amen. Praise God. I'm preaching myself happy. Praise God. So, verse 12, God answered. Can you say empowerment? Here's empowerment. First the revelation, now comes the empowerment. And here's what God did. He says this, God answered, I will be with you. Remember what I told you? From his presence comes power. So if he's there, power is there. If there was sickness in my body and God shows up, healing is there. If there was sadness in my mind and God shows up, joy is there. All of his power is in his identity. All of his power is in his presence. And the word of God says that just in my presence alone is fullness of joy. So in his presence is empowerment. So Moses was scared and trembling in his Jesus sandals, saying, who am I to go? And God calmed his nerves and empowered him and said, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought, okay, so remember, okay, God says, I know you got a problem, okay? I know you got a problem, all right? And that problem is Egypt, okay? My children, the children of Israel are in Egypt. They are in bondage there. They're being treated very harshly. I know it's a big problem. So we see this. I can hold this one, but this was a boulder. Moses could even pick it up and do an example like I'm doing now. That's how big the problem was. 400 years of bondage and slavery. It was a big problem. But God said, I am with you. And here is the glory of the revelation. Here is the beauty of your problem, okay? He said this. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Can you say glory? Glory. That's all he's ever after, saints. Stop making your problems silence you. Stop allowing your problems to get you down in the dumps and not saying anything. And if you will pay an advance payment of glory towards God, then it will shift your whole mindset and it will shift the whole environment around you, because God is attracted to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the devil tries to make you look at the problem like this, so that all you can see is the problem. You can't see the way out, but Revelation says that there is always a way out. He has always created a way out. Amen? All right, let's continue. Verse 13, but Moses protested, Lord, have mercy. Moses, how many times does God have to tell you it's going to be all right? Brother, it's going to be all right. How many times does God have to tell us it's going to be all right? Brother Peter, it's going to be all right. But then we look at that problem again. Oh, Lord, it's big. Woo, that thing is big. So then Moses again protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, so let's just say, God, I do what you're asking me to do. Okay, I'm beyond that point. Okay, I believe that you can free the children of Israel from Egypt. Okay, I'm there with you. All right, I believe. But still, I got an issue with the whole me going thing. All right? But verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Or the King James Version that we all grew up with says, what I am, that I am. Or the way that this, another version I saw said it this way, I will be who I will be. So in his presence is everything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whatever you need is in his presence. If he is there, the answer is there. He is the answer. Amen. So God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh. Can you say Yahweh? Now listen very closely to me. God has a name. And it's so important, okay, that when we pray and when we begin to reference God, that we start calling him by his name. I want you to start doing that. Okay, the Bible says that he has a name, and his name was, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh. Can you say Yahweh? Yahweh. Isn't it fun to say? It's a beautiful word, Yahweh. His name. the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Let's give God praise this morning. Yahweh. So remember, I said that in God's presence equals God's power. So if he's there, whether it's at a pizza shop, whether it's at Ford Motor Company, whether it's in a hospital bed, whether it's 5K at St. Rita's, if he's there, the answer is there. Do you hear what I'm saying? If he's there, his power is there. Because he said, I am that I am. So he basically, in me is everything. Oh, God, hallelujah. In me is everything. Every answer, every beginning, every ending, every triumph, every glory. All praise is due to him because he is the great I am. And if you have the I am on the scene, it's going to be all right. In his name is his activity. His presence represents his activity, his characteristics, his power. Let's look at some of the names of God. One of the names of God is Elohim. Can you say that? I told you that God's presence equals his power. His name equals his activity. Elohim means the strong creator God. Genesis 1:12 says this, in the beginning, God, or Elohim, creator God, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Elohim, was moving over the surface of the waters. So you're able to speak over that dark thing in your life, that area where you don't know what's going to happen. And you'll be able to call on God, Elohim, and say, God, create a way out of no way. You are God the Creator. You are Elohim. It's so important to know that our empowerment comes from God, and within God is many names and many functions, and Elohim is one of them. Another one is Jehovah. Can you say Jehovah? That's another name of God, and it means Lord or Master and relational God. Genesis 2:4 says this, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord Jehovah God made earth and heaven. So he is Lord. So you can say that, you know what? This problem in my life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jehovah, the Lord my God. He is the one that sustains me. He is the one. You see, you've got to stop trying to fight the devil all by yourself. You are no match for him. But the God that lives within you, the great I am that I am, that promises to never leave us or forsake us, is inside of us with all his names included. He is a package deal. And he is a wonderful God that can supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Can you say El Elyon? That means the most high God. Daniel 3:26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted. Some of us are in some blazing furnaces right now, but we are not in there alone because God promises to never leave us and never forsake us. And it says this, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, El Elyon, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And just as they came out of the fire, say this with me, I will come out of the fire. And listen, not only are you guys going to come out, you brothers and sisters in Christ, not only are you going to come out of the fire that your life has been in, but you're going to come out not smelling like what you've been through. John Lewis, raise your hand. Just had a heart pacemaker put in. He does not look like what he's been through. That is the power of God being present in our lives. How many of you have such a testimony that you don't look like what you've been through? Raise your hand. That's the power of God in your life, that you don't look like what you've been through because of El Elyon, the Most High God. Then another name of God is this. Can you say El Shaddai? El Shaddai means Almighty God. Genesis 17 verses 1 and 2 say this. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And here's some of our one of our favorite names of God. Can you say Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh means this, the Lord will provide. See, praise God for I am that I am. Because if he's there, the resources are there. If he's there, the power is there. Everything that we need is in God. And if he is with us, that's why the word of God says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Because God in all of his power is present. The meaning of Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. Genesis 22:14 says this. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, when David sinned, he did a great sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. They had a child. They were going to have a child, rather. And before it could be known that he was the one that was guilty, he made sure that Uriah was killed in battle. The wife, the original husband, I'm sorry. And so not only did he commit adultery, but he committed murder, okay? And when he prayed to God and admitted that God is against you and you only have I sinned, he didn't ask God to not strip the kingdom from him. You know what he said? Don't take your presence away from me. Because in his presence, I have everything. He's working out all things in my... I just saw a bird fly in front of that window up there, and it was so beautiful. In his presence. And just as the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus Christ as a dove, showing to the world that he was present in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, I'm trying to tell you that God, those of you that have been born again, that God is present in your lives. The great I am that I am. That you never have to face issues alone. Quickly cast your cares towards him because he cares for you. Why not let I am that I am take care of you? If he's ready and willing and all-powerful, what in the world am I doing carrying around these problems? Doesn't this look goofy? It doesn't even fit. You know why it doesn't fit? Because it doesn't belong to me. And that's heaven's perspective of us, foolishness. When you're carrying around problems and you've got a great God, I am that I am. But yet you carry these burdens that you can do nothing about, and they cannot grow into miracles as long as you hold them. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you're enjoying this empowerment series, because that was just the surface. That was just a scratch of what God's going to reveal. So the first thing that we have to understand about empowerment is I am that I am. We get that revelation first of what God is capable of and what God wants to do. And then comes, see, this is rest, okay? This is rest. I'm trying to calm myself down so you can get it. This is rest, okay? I don't have to be busy because I am that I am is here. I don't have to be busy. Okay, remember Martha? So busy around the house when Jesus was there and she wants to look at Mary and say, Lord, she's just sitting there. Tell her to come help me. And what did he say? No. She has chosen what is wise. She's chosen the good thing. So I'm here preaching the good news. I'm here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I'm telling you that it's a good thing to cast your cares. And listen, after that, trust. Cast and trust. Trust in the Lord that he is the one. Because you know what? Do you know what this means? This means I don't trust you. When I go pick up my problem and I start worrying about it again and I start fearing and working on it and doing this and doing that, it means I don't trust you. But you know what? We will soon come to the understanding that trying to figure it out never fixes it. Trying to figure it out never fixes it. The only way that a seed can grow, this glory seed can grow, is if we put it at his feet and let that prayer go up to heaven, let that concern go up to heaven, and then when it comes back down to us, it will be something worthy of glory and honor and praise for our Father. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the word this morning, and that your word is true, and that your word never returns void back to you, that you are the power behind your word. You are the power behind your word. You make your word good. You are the one that looks over your word to perform it. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all that you're doing in this house. I thank you, God, for your people learning what glorious rest looks like. It's a stillness for your glory. The problem wants us to run, but you have allowed us by faith to enter into your glorious rest, to come to a standstill, and then see the salvation of the Lord. A front row seat to see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, may we learn to be still and know that you are the great I am that I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.